Dad, you know how you were saying I need to do more, be more, the whole fast fiber thing?
Yes.
Anyways, I saw that Vox is offering free standard installation and activation to the value of 3,000 rand.
That is a good deal.
With the money you save, I can buy some new skins for Fortnite. Talk about money in the bank.
With free activation to the value of 3,000 rand. Live smart. Hack life. Level up with Vox Fiber. Visit vox.co.za. T's and C's apply.
I'm Duncan MacLeod and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm on a Skype call now with Standard Bank Group Chief Information Officer Alpheus Mangale. Alpheus, welcome to the podcast. I know you've obviously from your MTN business days. How long have you been at Standard Bank now?
Thank you for having me, Duncan. I've been actually at Standard Bank for just under 19 months now. It's been a very exciting journey for me to join the financial services.
Great stuff. Well, just tell me a bit about your career history before. I know, obviously know you from your MTN days, but what are some of the entities you've worked for in your career?
Absolutely. Actually, I started my career with a company called BSW Telecoms, which actually developed software, funny enough, back in those days for telecoms communication companies. You might remember the times of Transtel telecom billing systems and network management systems were developed by us many, many, many years ago. That company got later acquired by Dimension Data, late 90s, in fact, during the IT boom. All in all, I spent about 17 years with Dimension Data in various leadership roles in Europe, in Middle East and Africa, and all in all, was about 17 years. Quite an exciting time then. After that, I went and joined Cisco. I ran Cisco South Africa for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. Running the technology and looking after their strategy in the continent. And then I joined MTN Business and looking after MTN Business corporate clients and all of that for about 3 years as well.
Okay. So the reason we're talking today is Standard Bank has made a major announcement this morning that it's selected Amazon Web Services as its preferred cloud provider. You've said that you're going to shift various production workloads, including your customer-facing platforms, to the cloud. Firstly, I guess the obvious question is why Amazon and not, say, Microsoft Azure? And secondly, why go all in on the cloud as a bank at this point in time?
Two great questions, by the way, Duncan. So let me first clarify. This is actually going to be – today's announcement is the first of several key strategic partnerships we're going to be announcing. So watch this space. Probably in the next couple of weeks, we'll be making several other key strategic partnerships to this point.
All right.
In fact, what has informed our decision specifically around cloud is I think our vision is pretty clear. We want to be the leading financial service organization in and for Africa. To do that, we've decided to focus on three specific areas of our strategy, being client experience, client centricity, digitization, and what we call universal financial service organization. Basically, simply put, is how do we allow our customers to experience the full breadth of what Standard Bank Group offers, including our Liberty offerings and the like. In order to do that, we have to really rethink about how technology plays a role in doing that. I think you will know, Duncan, that I would say very openly that financial services organizations today are not — I'm not just saying this because I'm a tech person at heart, but financial service organizations today are tech organizations with a financial service license. So we have to really look at how do we leverage technology to the advantage of servicing our clients better, faster, quicker, and actually introduce innovation in a pace that they expect. So to address the question about why Amazon specifically, I think it's no doubt Amazon is a leader in the hyperscale environment. I think they're still number one today in the world. And we've decided to partner with them specifically and to not only look at cloud, but to look beyond cloud about what other capabilities that we can leverage that Amazon brings to bear. So when they think about Africa as a continent, they should be thinking about Standard Bank as a preferred partner of choice when we offer these services into the market. There are going to be others that we're going to be announcing. I don't want to talk about that now, but we'll probably talk about that at the future stage. But our partnership with Amazon is really rooted around those things.
Okay. Now, you've said you're going to move, and I'm quoting here, strategic core banking applications to the cloud. I know Standard Bank has invested billions of rand over the last decade or so building core banking systems on top of SAP. Are you moving away from those, or is this complementary to your SAP project?
Actually, it's very complementary. In fact, you know, one of the things that are actually quite great for us is that the investments we made over the last 5 years has actually led us to be in this position where we can actually easily make a decision such as this, which is very strategic. So you'll be obviously well aware, Duncan, that we've been on a core banking transformation journey and our core modernization journey of our core banking systems, not only in South Africa. We did an implementation of SAP core banking systems here in South Africa. We've completed that. Mm. We're actually leveraging the benefit of that as we speak. We also went through a similar program across Africa, the rest of African countries. We've deployed a core banking platform based on Infosys Pinnacle to across 14 countries. And that has been the journey for the last four and a half years. And we've done that successfully, which actually now positions us very, very well to then lift those workloads, which are now ready, into the cloud. And I'd argue that if you have not done that transformation internally to really ready for this world that is changing, I think it's going to be quite tough to get into the cloud, because if you can't do a simple lift and shift, you'll have to go through the refactoring and all of the other stuff. And we've done quite a lot of that with the journeys that we've been through.
So I know I've many years ago I visited some of the data centers operated by Standard Bank and other major banks in South Africa, some of them in downtown Johannesburg, and there were these huge basement facilities with gigantic mainframes. Those days they were water-cooled mainframes. Is the mainframe era over in banking, or are they still at the core of your systems?
Yeah, I think the mainframe era, you have to look at it from the context of, look at computing power evolution. In my view, in fact, as a financial service organization, the quite key critical questions that, not only in financial service, by the way, but across the industry, you have to ask yourself is, what are the assets that you need to own at a technology level that will give you competitive advantage? And what are the assets that, quite frankly, you just need to utilize from people that provide them at better availability levels, at better scale? You can actually go up and down as you need without actually having to make significant investments that sit with you, or sit in your books for many, many, many years that you have to write off over a period. And cloud provides that. And mainframe is such a platform, for instance. We see ourselves over the coming years, because moving to cloud is a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not a one-year process, because we need to migrate systems that we've accumulated over the years into the cloud. So we see our mainframe footprint is definitely going to come down. And then over the years, I can see that, quite frankly, becoming a very small point of our, or part of our infrastructure going forward.
So what are you going to be able to do in the cloud? What differences are customers going to see at the end of the day through this process? What are you going to be able to do differently by moving these processes into the cloud as opposed to doing them on-premise?
Great question again, Duncan. If you think about it, let me just maybe take a broader look at, think about customer expectations that are changing. In fact, you and I, as like, for instance, banking clients, right? Mm-hmm. That we bank with various institutions. I happen to bank with Standard Bank. And we expect real-time services. We expect these services to be available digitally. And we expect the same level of service and quality and availability, the same to other industries. When you do online shopping, when you stream your Netflix video, movies and everything else. You expect the same thing from banking. Mm. If you apply traditional ways of where IT has traditionally been kind of used, that the paradigms of the past where, you know, business people or business line people come into IT and brief the requirements of the customers, and then 3 to 6 months later we come up with a product and say it's ready. And only to find that when we launch it, the customer says, actually my requirements have moved on. So why we're moving to cloud is exactly to drive some of those benefits up. First and foremost, cloud, in our view, enables rapid innovation and change. I mean, very simplistically, I mean, if you look at the pace of innovation that is being driven by these cloud hyperscalers today, in areas such as big data, analytics platforms, machine learning, you know, personalization activities, and various other aspects, I would argue if you are on-prem, I would argue that you will not be able to enjoy those rapid innovations. And if you try to replicate that quite frankly, one is going to be quite costly. And by the time you introduce them to the market would have moved on and your competition would probably be far ahead of you. So that's the first benefit. The second benefit, which is also close to us, is cloud actually improves the overall availability and security of systems, right? I mean, you will know today, I mean, the hyperscalers, they provide availability levels of about 99.99%. Mm-hmm. I mean, to think about an organization having to do that, that comes as a huge, huge cost. And the unfortunate reality is you don't need that capacity all the time, right? And cloud, what it does, it gives you that capacity on demand. So you can flex up and flex down as you need. I mean, to give you a good example of maybe things that will be close to you and I, is when you think about Black Friday, for instance, right? Black Friday generates quite a lot of volumes for payments and online transactions that happens just for one day and sometimes even into Cyber Monday. Imagine the amount of infrastructure that you have to keep available for that throughout the year just to be available for one day.
Yes.
The maintenance cost that you pay, the team of people that support that infrastructure over the period. Whereas if you're in the cloud, Duncan, all I have to do is to say, for that particular day, I am going to throttle up my requirements for capacity, and then I'll throttle down after that, and then I can actually do other things at the same time. Mm. And the final point, which is probably quite critical, which is going to be really relevant for us delivering rapid innovation to our clients, is the cloud environment will allow us to experiment, test solutions together with clients a lot faster and quickly, and with leading us to actually introducing a lot of changes rapidly into the market. So you can spin off instances of test systems and performance testing systems very quickly in the cloud without having to wait for what you call in technical jargon, release trains and all of those things. So when you're in the cloud, you can actually have multiple release trains running at the same time. So, and actually on that front, I happen to be talking to a number of financial services across the world who are already in the cloud. I mean, some of the organizations today, they argue they're introducing customer changes that are actually on daily basis, sometimes even 1,000 to 500 changes a day. When you're on-prem, based on historic paradigm shifts of IT, there's no way that you can be able to introduce 1,000 changes a day. Mm. So those are some of the advantages that our clients actually are going to see as we move more and more of our workloads into the cloud.
The banking, the financial services sector is obviously very heavily regulated. What are the compliance and regulatory implications of what you're doing here?
In fact, moving to cloud has been a journey for us. It's not something that we just kind of realized we need to do. So it's been a journey that we started quite a while back. And we've been working very, very closely with our regulator. You probably have seen in the press announcement that we actually quoted that our regulator is actually being the SARB, has been working very closely with us and given us, have endorsed our strategy. What remains very clear is that for every workload that we obviously consider taking the cloud, we need to make sure that we adhere to the necessary compliance requirements and more importantly around data privacy, data sharing, offshoring of data and all of that. And our regulator here in the country have actually issued a directive in that regard, which is very, very progressive. And what's been exciting, Duncan, is working with a very progressive regulator in the space has been really, really instrumental for us. Mm. Instead of being prevented in going and leveraging this emerging tech, our regulator is quite progressive about doing this at the same time, addressing and meeting compliance requirements around data privacy, localization of data in such certain geographies and all of that. Even more so for us, remember, we operate across 20 markets in Africa. So this announcement we made today is not only centered around South Africa, it's across all the markets that we operate in. So we are going to be, and we've started engaging with all our country regulators to really understand what it means for the countries that we operate in. So we're going to be complying to those requirements. And it was very important to also then select a hyperscaler providers that will allow us to adapt those cloud models as we see appropriate when we actually have different regulatory conversations across the continent, because not the regulatory requirements are the same across the continent. So the way, like for instance, Mozambique look at regulation is slightly different to South Africa. So the partner of choice for us is critical to make sure they can support us in each of those scenarios as we accelerate a cloud journey.
Does Amazon Web Services have all of the infrastructure in South Africa that you're going to need? I know they said they're only now looking at building a local AWS data center, which I think is only going to be ready next year. Is the infrastructure, or does it not matter because this is a multi-year journey and the infrastructure will become available in time?
It actually, quite frankly, it does matter, and also at the same time, also doesn't matter. Today we are, in fact, a large some portion of our workloads are already on the cloud. I mean, like for instance, we run a lot of our productivity tools in the cloud. We've been doing that for the last several years. We're also doing one of the capabilities that we've got, which was quite revolutionary in the market over the last 2 years, has been our capability for Forex, a shift application that I'm pretty sure you use, Duncan, for when you're traveling. That is all running in the cloud, and it's running on AWS as we speak today. Mm-hmm. We're not really limited by Amazon establishing presence in the country. However, we've been engaging with them at a very senior level, which has really culminated to them actually making the announcement of actually establishing a region. And I'm told it's not going to be by no later than end of Q2 next year. So that's really exciting. So it will address things such as we take more workloads into the cloud. Remember, there are also workloads that are latency intolerant. So those workloads, you do need those data centers to be locally based here in South Africa. So, and Amazon obviously will be doing that as we go through on this journey. So we're quite excited about that. They've decided to make that investment about creating those regions here in South Africa out of Cape Town.
Right. I noticed in the announcement you said you're going to be using AWS services to do data analytics and machine learning to automate financial operations and enhance customer web and mobile apps. Maybe just take us through exactly what that means and what you're going to be able to do as a customer.
Yeah, I mean, let me give you maybe a snippet of something we are already working on, but it's going to be maybe released in the coming weeks or coming months. But we are doing this testing as we go through. Our ability to be able to anticipate what our customers are going to need in terms of their short-term loan requirements and all of that. There are certain behavioral activities that we could see from our clients based on their data that will be able to predict that as they need something, we are there when they need us. Now one of the capabilities that we've got online is we are able to issue unsecured personal loans under 5 minutes now, which is the capability that we launched back in February this year. And when you combine that capability together with customer data about spending patterns, buying patterns, you are able to actually be there at the moments that matters for clients. And you do that using data analytics, machine learning, and be able to predict certain things to do that. And those components today, we don't need to build them. Amazon have got those components available off the shelf. SageMaker, Amazon Pinpoint, for instance, one of the capabilities that we're working with them on, that actually does all of that. That negates us the necessity for us to actually build them to do that. Remember, one of the very important things when we're doing these things is we have to get consent from our clients about using their data, and that's something that we hold dearly. So we're not going to use data of our clients without their permission and then offer any services to them that without them not asking them. So that becomes very, very critical. Just one example. There's many examples I can give you, but that's one pertinent example that actually comes to mind.
Before I let you go, Alpheus, this I would imagine is going to have a big impact on your IT department. I imagine you're going to have to do a lot of skills development, a lot of skills redevelopment. Maybe talk a bit about that. And also, are you going to need less IT staff through this process?
Actually, Duncan, it's very exciting times for us, actually. In fact, I would actually encourage and challenge everyone to, if you really want to be in IT and you want to be in an environment that is really working on exciting stuff, you want to consider joining Standard Bank. Mm-hmm. In our partnership with Amazon, one of the things that we realized that and you will know this as well, being very tech savvy about the environment, is cloud, there is no abundance of skills across the continent on cloud. Mm. So cloud is a new concept. The adoption of cloud, I guess, in the Americas and perhaps even in Europe is quite advanced compared to Africa. So this is still a new world. So we have taken this opportunity to actually partner with Amazon to create new set of skill sets, such as cloud engineering, security specialists in the cloud. The way you do security on-prem is very different to the way you do security in the cloud. Data analysts, data specialists, machine learning engineers, machine learning developers, application developers that actually know how to develop in the cloud and all of that. So very, very exciting time. So what we are doing now internally, we actually retraining our IT capacity to really be ready for this world. At the same time, we also recruiting what I call digital natives, unlike you and I, Duncan, which are digital kind of immigrants, that actually cloud is native for them. Cloud is something that they've known. They use Gmail accounts. They use all of these things are quite common to them, as opposed to us that these technologies and advancements were introduced to us in our careers. So we are quite excited about that. We're creating programs, and we're going to be launching specific programs, not only in South Africa, but across the continent as a whole. Because remember, Standard Bank provides services across 20 markets that we currently operate in and growing. So that's exciting times. In fact, if you speak to IT engineers and individuals within the group today, they're quite excited about where we're headed. They have to learn new skills, and they're embracing this new world we're getting into.
Alpheus Mangale is CIO at Standard Bank Group. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today. It's a fascinating project, and I look forward to seeing how it develops.
Thank you very much, Duncan. Thank you for your time.